And said yesterday it's nice to be here on the other side of the mountains in Wenatchee for the Saturday, March 17th Fish and Wildlife Commission meeting, and we will get underway with item number 23, which is open public input. And we do have a number of folks that wish to come up. I think all of you know the drill, about 3 minutes in the beeper, so I won't do that. So I'll call you up two at a time. Greg Johnson and Brant Capel, please. Capel? Capel.
Is that coming across? Yeah, okay. Happy St. Patrick's Day. It's a national holiday for some of us. I'd like to just speak a little bit to you about the commercial take-home number 25. Like I said, my name is Greg Johnson. I'm also a commercial advisor, as well as I'm on the salmon advisory sub-panel for the PFMC. And the reason I mention that is we just returned from there, and I was able to speak with a number of trawlers who are pretty concerned about this item. So I thought I would speak to it and just tell you our story on the Columbia River, how it works. So we would go out and do a day or nights of fishing. We'll come in and we'll either, in our case where I fish, we'll come to the ramp and we'll offload our fish into a tote of slushed ice. And then right up within 300 yards of that ramp is a buyer. And we'll offload those fish to the buyer. He'll weigh and put those on a fish ticket. So at that point, what occurs is if somebody wants to take a fish home for their own consumption, or say I do, then that ticket or that fish gets weighed and recorded on that ticket and for a take home. The problem that has arisen with the system we currently have is that we follow the sport, as you know, this daily sport limit, which is ever changing. Last year I had to call. I only took a fish home a couple of times, but I just actually called each time to make sure I was in compliance because I didn't know what the sport regs were. I don't spend my season investigating that. So the good thing about what's in front of you is it's prescriptive. Everybody knows the take home limit is this. So I think it's a good thing. Not only that, this discussion is a good thing. Anytime we have this kind of discussion, it usually goes before our advisory board, which has 16 members on it. We all discuss it and bring it back to our own communities within there, and it's kind of an enlightenment. So this discussion has actually brought the subject forward on the Oregon side of the river. People were confused as to what the landing limit was. As far as The stock, like I said, the stock account, you know, for stock counts and everything, these landings are put onto the ticket, so there's accounting for that. I guess that's all I have to offer.
Thanks, Greg.
Thanks.
Any questions? Yes.
So to be clear, in Oregon, then, is the system set up to allow commercial fishers to take home a couple of fish according to the limit or not?
I've fished in three states along the coast, and I've never had it tied to the recreational limit. In Oregon, they have a take home, and it's not associated at all with the recreational limit.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you. And Nello, and Brant, and Brant is representing Representative Cordata.
A little bit of a mouthful there. Representative Condado couldn't be here today. State representative from the 12th district, and that's the beautiful district that you guys are here in. We appreciate you holding the meeting here. He had a couple things that he would like me to cover. First off, my name is Brant Capel. I'm a senior legislative assistant, so I will be wearing a couple of different hats today, but right now I'm representing our office. So three things he wanted me to touch on. We just really appreciate you guys being here in our district and allowing folks from the nearby areas to be able to testify. I think it means a lot for folks to be able to be here and not have to go all the way over the passes to be in Olympia. The first thing that we have seen from our constituents just recently, there's a Stamil school check recreation plan that's going on in this area. You may or may not be familiar with it. It's an inside agency type of a thing. It's a transfer of DNR land to DFW. It was really a community ask based on something that happened about a decade ago. And the concern we were hearing on that is that there's a snow park up there, the Lily Lake Snow Park and Groom Trail, that's slated to be closed. The concern there is that this is a very important access point to get to the Stamilt Basin for winter recreation. Under this recreation plan, it's pretty broad, and it would actually open up some another area for snow park access. But what Representative Condotta's concern is, instead of limiting this access to just this one new spot, we would really like to see actually more access there. There's a lot of folks wanting to use these areas. It's becoming very popular for not just snowmobiling, but for other winter recreation sports. And in the 12th District, although we are a very big agricultural-centric area, our number two economic driver is tourism, and it's just growing by the year. You know, we are kind of the backyard of the West Side, and with some tourism funding we were able to secure this year in the legislature, we're going to see a statewide program that's going to be advertising across the nation. So we will be seeing probably a bigger uptake in those tourism dollars and folks coming and spending money. So that's one of the big concerns in that plan, and we've been hearing from folks. Representative Condotta, a big outdoor enthusiast, so that was a concern of his. The second one is a letter that Representative Condotta and 54 other members of the legislature signed on to DFW about 2 years ago regarding the fairness of upper versus lower Columbia River fisheries, especially when it came to salmon and steelhead. We expressed concerns in that letter with the Columbia River management east of McNary compared to some of the lower river fisheries. And we hear from constituents every year. Some of it's anecdotal. Some of it's just, you know, anger. You can imagine a lot of the different emails that we get into our office. With the concerns of those regs in the lower Columbia and how they have an impact on the upper Columbia. Here in the upper Columbia, we have multiple fish that come to spawn in our backyards. The majority of the upper Columbia summer Chinook, the sockeye that come through here, whether they're going to Lake Wenatchee or all the way up to Soyuz, a lot of spring Chinook. We have coho production around here, and then also our summer steelhead. The concern there is there's oftentimes an imbalance where there's fisheries that are open on the lower Columbia that are affecting fish that are coming home here, and especially when we have suppressed runs or run estimates that are low. For instance, our summer steelhead fisheries, we haven't had a fishery up here for 2 years, and the years before that it was pretty suppressed, and rightfully so. It was a very they're runs that are very threatened, and the concern there is that we see oftentimes that the fisheries on the lower Columbia, although maybe not taking very many out of that population, when we're worried about not getting not only enough natural spawners back, but enough hatchery spawners to supplement that, that becomes a real concern. The other thing that we've seen is that, you know, in years like 2015, we do a mark select fishery for summer Chinook up here, and we're pretty efficient at it. We're pretty good at helping the agencies out, cull some of those, some hatchery fish. But that same year, we also saw the lower river fisheries doing non-mark select. So it's those inadequacies that kind of paint a picture of we kind of get left out of the picture often. So we just, one of the things that Rep. Condotta asked is that this board just look at that and realize that you guys are the ones that are speaking for the eastern side, because we know Oregon past McNary doesn't really have much of an interest in the salmon in the Columbia River policy. It kind of stops there. The last thing is more of a Columbia River policy centric, and I know that you guys are going to have another time of topic for that, but I'll be speaking on my own behalf in there. But Representative Condotta did want to bring up that he did sign on in 2012 and then a subsequent letter in 2016 on the Columbia River policy. That first one was a general ask to get on board with what was going on at the time in Oregon. Then 2016 was kind of a hold your ground, which we appreciate what you guys did in that. I think it was bold that you guys were willing to go out on your own and say, you know, this is where we're going to be. like I said, Oregon seems to fail to see past that McNary area, and the only people in the 12th district we have to advocate is you guys. And so we really appreciate you guys looking at that. And make sure I can flip the right page. And we're seeing from the reports that we're seeing that these off-channel areas are working, and it's time to finish up this implementation and make those final commercial fishing areas moved from the main stem to those safe zones so that the fish that are coming back here get back here safe, because we often have to be the fisheries that are in constraint to make those conservation efforts last. And we don't mind doing that. A lot of the people I know and a lot of people that are constituents raise those fish, and I have a lot of passion for the fish and the habitat around here, but those are the fish that come back to our backyards, and we just really ask that you guys help to make sure that we keep having those fisheries come back. So really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks, Grant. You've done a good job representing the representative. Yes.
Yeah. So you talked about access on the Stamilkin. If it were maintained on the wildlife area, would non-motorized access sort of satisfy the need?
You know, I think that's a growing thing, but the majority of the use up there is snowmobiles. It's a snow park, and it's a trail that gets access to an area called the Upper Basin Loop, which is an important area to get into a lot of other areas. Now, I know that the agency's concern is some of the wildlife interactions, and we can understand that. And frankly, to have another access point is always good, but if you go up there on a Friday or a Saturday when we have a good snowpack like this year, that one snow park is full and people are on the road, and it's actually kind of a hazard. And there's just a lot of people that are up there. So,
thanks again. And Rick Stillwater, please. And Ella.
Chair Smith, Commissioners, Acting Director Storr, thanks for letting me speak today. Eastside Commissioners, thanks for having us over here in this beautiful country. I notice all the Eastside Commissioners are on the one side of the table, particularly Commissioner Graybill here in the Wenatchee area. I'm just going to talk really brief on this personal use salmon issue as well. I would just echo Mr. Johnson's, one of his comments, that recreational rules can be very complicated and confusing. But we agree this isn't an allocation issue. We perceive this more as a fairness and equity issue. From an optics standpoint, there's just a feeling that it's eroding more of the public's trust in our fisheries managers. We are aware of the potential legal issues from the Twin Harbors Fish and Wildlife advocacy that have been raised. We feel that the commission would be well served to thoroughly address any legal issues before moving forward on it, and we are just supportive of the approach right now. Take a little pause, you get an AGO before making any final decision on it. So, thank you.
Thanks, Noah. Nathan and Rick.
Yes, my name's Rick Stillwater. I reside in East Wenatchee. Thank you for coming to our area. I'd like to also express concerns on the personal use for commercial non-tribal gill netters and trollers for personal use fish. I think it's basically they're trying to kind of blend what we would consider kind of a sport or personal use. It doesn't equate to what recreational anglers have to do and pay for. And I think it should be administered a little fair. I agree that it should be looked at a little bit more. Also, I'll speak later after for public comments on the salmon recovery, but just briefly, following what Brant Capell indicated here, the amount of money that has been spent for salmon recovery in the Upper Columbia River by ranchers, irrigators, citizens, ratepayers, the PUDs. I'm not sure if everybody realizes that. A good case in point, if you have time and haven't had the opportunity to go up to Rocky Reach Dam and see what Chelan PUD has done for salmon recovery, look at their skimmers that they put in and that pipeline to get fish around the dam. That was done mainly for sockeye and steelhead that typically are run through the turbine. That project alone, funded by Chelan PUD, was $120 million for that effort for salmon recovery. And we're still struggling up here. A lot of people are doing what's right, but there's some other issues that need to be addressed, and we'll talk about that later. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. And Rob Winters, please, and Nathan.
Good morning, Vice Chair Smith, or Chair Smith, Vice Chair Carpenter, Acting Director Store. My name's Nathan Grimm. I'm from Pasco, Washington. I am a one of two Eastern Washington representatives on the Columbia River Recreational Advisory Group, and I'd like to first thank you guys for coming to Eastern Washington. I really appreciate the opportunity to interact as a constituent on my turf, I guess. It's better driving 2 hours than four or five. I would also like to especially thank department staff who has to go above and beyond extra to make it happen in a remote location other than Olympia. So thank you to you guys' support staff. I am opposed to the personal use proposal for all the reasons that Mr. Pisenich and Mr. Stillwater mentioned. I am also on board with Mr. Condotta, Representative Condotta's representative's comments on equity in geographical allocation of salmon fisheries. So I also have a couple comments from the end of yesterday's meeting, and I'm wondering on the Farm Bill stuff, how much advocacy the department or the commission can solicit from citizens in terms of some of the things that we do. I'm a CCA member, and so I'm familiar with how they advocate and are able to send legislators information. So I'm wondering if that's something the state can, I don't know, maybe they can't, but I just thought that would be a good idea to allow for the citizens who are really in for conservation to help support the Farm Bill in the federal legislature. So on the timber management, I'm not sure what the rules are, but I understand that we're paying for commercial type thinning and pre-commercial thinning and managing our forest lands. I think that's great, but I wonder if we're allowing citizens to help by allowing for personal firewood, because that's free. So those are just two things from yesterday that I wanted to bring up and hope that you guys would look into. So thank you again for being here. And
thank you, Nathan, for all of your comments. They're all very well said. And
Joe asked a question.
Oh, I'm sorry, Joe. Yeah.
Thanks, Nathan, for being here both these days. You might talk to Nate Pamplin about both the firewood, which we do allow on some of our state lands, and about the advocacy for the Farm Bill. Nate could give you some details and answer your questions.
Yeah, thanks, Joe. We miss Bob McCoy, please, and Rob.
Yeah. I appreciate this opportunity to comment this morning. I want to start by thanking you for some things you've already done, because I think in this area they're good policy. removing the limits on brook trout and in the Columbia on walleye and bass seem likely to be helpful measures in supporting our native fishes. We're getting rid of some of the competition if people act on these things. I also like the limit that you've set for trout from streams, but I hope you'll consider extending it in some places. Two fish of 12 inches or better in a lot of smaller areas seems likely to undercut us, taking away fish that we would like to have for broodstock. In the 8 years I've been home, I've tried to push myself into areas of Chelan County that I was never crazy enough to visit as a child. I'm looking for opportunities, and I've gone through the pamphlet and explored the maps and explored what you've got available. And the resources are frankly very limited. A good number of the smaller tributaries and streams that you've got are dangerous for a guy my age, rocky, full of snakes, a couple are in swamps. The fish are small, and so are the streams. If you're looking for a place you can put a lot of anglers who will buy licenses from the department, these aren't the places you talk about. My friends and I gravitate toward two drainages here, the Icicle and the Aniat, for that reason. They're bigger. I can see a lot of people alongside me when I go to either one of them. And the best part of it is, from my point of view, you can get an unimpeded backcast if you work at it hard enough. They are not robust systems. People tell me, who have better science backgrounds than I've got, that they are not generous when it comes to nutrients. We don't have huge bug populations like you do on the Yakima or in places in the Snake River system. What we do have is growing angling pressure. 8 years ago, I could have taken everybody on that panel and found you individual space out of the sight of everybody else on the Icicle River. I can't do that anymore. We have more people joining us every year, and these days it's rather common for me to go to a place in the roaded areas. There will be people below me, people above me in the drift, and guys behind me waiting to get at the water, and it gets worse on weekends. That's why I think that it would be useful to further explore catch and release in two circumstances. One would be for the cutthroat, the West Slope cutthroat. The department is working hard to reestablish in the Aniat. Removing the rainbows and the brookies up there doesn't bother me much, but taking some of the most biologically successful cutthroats out of the system by allowing any retention does. This isn't a big population, and it's taken a lot of effort to get them back into the system. I feel the same way about the rainbow trout fishery on the Icicle, simply because of the pressure I see there. The old guard in this area, and I mean guys that are older than me by about 20 years, will tell you that the Icicle used to afford them 12-inch or better fish on a regular basis. I caught my last 12-inch fish about 3 years ago, and I'm still excited about it. The pressure is just at a point where we really have to take that into consideration. And restoring the larger fish under those circumstances makes sense. And I don't come to you this morning thinking about this as some sort of ideological or fanatic position. I experienced things last summer that really troubled me concerning the long-term situation. The big fish disappeared fast. The smaller fish simply weren't there to back them up in a lot of cases. Thank you.
Thanks, Rob. And then your points will be taken to heart. And Bob, you're the last one this morning, or for this part.
Good morning. Bob McCoy from Sammamish, Washington. I enjoyed the drive over here. This country is beautiful, although I noticed they broke the sky. This is the first solid blue cloud I've seen in about 8 months. So it's kind of like, what's going on there? So these two salmon were looking at the fish ladder at Grand Coulee, and they're looking up at it, and the one salmon turns to the other and says, "Are you sure she has a sister?" So, okay, I'll explain it to you later, Brad. So this morning I wanted to take just a couple of moments and talk about the search for a new director. Apparently Joe's too smart to ask for it, or maybe he has, I don't know. But I would hope that given the enormity of your task to find someone to act as the public trust manager and provide you the proper information so as trustees you can carry out your fiduciary duties. I would hope that we could find someone who, first of all, believes in scientific rigor. I'm not as concerned that the person understand all the different species that we have here in Washington and the complexity, because a good manager should be able to find the next level down and make the silos to handle the different problems. One area that also concerns me is that for as long as I've been involved actively is the extremely low scores that the department consistently polls on the employee engagement surveys. Every year, the department battles it out with the Department of Corrections and the department, the IT department, to see who can make it to the bottom first. This year, the department has tied for fifth from the bottom, and they tend to be third to seventh from the bottom each year. So I think morale is a real problem in the department, and I believe it's in enforcement, I believe it's in the wildlife division, and I have less knowledge about the fisheries division because I leave it to people who are really active in that area. So that's where I would like to see some real focus is, above all, a manager who understands how to raise morale. I was in a 1,200-man fighter squadron with 40 airplanes. The morale was as low as it could get. We got one new commanding officer, and within less than 6 months, we had the highest reenlistment rate in the Navy for fighter squadrons, in fact, for the active Navy. So thank you. Appreciate the time. And I did enjoy the ride over.
Thanks, Bob. And we'll look forward to the explanation on the salmon at the dam.
Okay. So the...